Okay, now we have the second off the beaten path of Sanhedrin Sugya. That's the with the Brice, the Gemara quoted the Brice, they're trying to figure out what's shot in this pasuk. What are the different possible meanings? So one Tana said it's referring to Pshara, and we don't accept that because we hold that Pshara is a good thing, not a bad thing. And so what could this pasuk possibly mean? So the Gemara quoted the Brice, and they got a start in the last Sugya, Rabbi Elazar Omer, Veshagozel Sa Shachitim, Vetochim, Vefov, Vitmish Menachal, Ketz Mevarech, Ein Ze Mevarech, Elaminait, Vazen Neve, Botzea Berech Neat Hashem. So the Gemara says that a person is being makish chal, although the Braisa doesn't finish up that the person is trying to actually eat this food. So many of the Rishonim assume that that's what's going on. We're not talking about the bracha on the hafrashas challah, but we're probably talking about the bracha of hamotzi. We're going to work with that assumption. So the guy's got this delicious food in front of him, stolen goods. He stole the wheat. He's got a stolen piece of bread in front of him. So the Braisa is bemoaning the fact. Keitzim mevarch, einzim mevarch, elaminayit, falzen avarit, zeh berach nitzashem. So there's a major machlokes in Rishonim, literally out of retaishin the Braisa. What is the Braisa saying? The Braisa is making some kind of an observation that there's something bad about bracha, but it's unclear what extent this bracha is just so bad, just how off is this bracha. So the background to the Rishonim of how to read this Braisa is really starts with the machlokes in Rishonim, things the Rambam derive it, how to read a sugya that appears at the beginning of the seventh parak of Masechet Brachos, very famous in Mishnah, at the beginning of the seventh parak of Brachos. Those who were with us back in the Brachas days, I think we did this at the end of the year, right? We did, last couple of weeks, we did Shoshana Achlo. So the Mishnah introduces to us the seventh parak of Brachas, talking about the dinim of Zimun. Whole sugi about Zimun. Zimun, the Raisa, the Rabbana, the whole institution called Zimun. And then the Mishnah begins to list off the following people who ate following food cannot partake in the Zimun. The Mishnah starts rattling off a guy ate Tevel, and a guy ate this, and a guy ate Hekdesh Lo Nifta, all different examples of basically, in a sense, non-kosher food. And the Mishnah says such a person doesn't bench together with you. He's not considered to be part of the Zimun. And the Gemara goes to all the intricacies of all the cases. The Mishnah gives some very strange cases. It was true of Maisa Rishon Shalom, it was true of Maisa. Like, wants to know what's the case. Is it really not kosher? Complicated, just to pin down all the cases. But the bottom line is that all these cases, the guy did something wrong. He ate something that was not supposed to be eaten. So the Mishnah says he doesn't participate in the benching. So the Rambam Miluchas Brachas took this Mishnah and said, this Mishnah, although it appears in the context of Zimun, he can't be part of the Zimun, says the Rambam, because he doesn't bench. So that's ABCs. If a guy's not benching, he's not chayav to bench, so then obviously he's not going to be part of the Zimun. So the Rambam says he doesn't bench. Why doesn't he bench? Because he ate treifa food. He says the Rambam, that's the klal gadol. You eat treifa food, you don't bench. Why don't you bench? Because you never make brachas on treifa food. Never, neither bracha lechatchil, neither bracha rishayna, nor bracha acharayna. Treifa foods don't require, you shouldn't be eating in the first place, but it's not appropriate to recite a bracha on treifa food. And the Rambam says, it's very unlikely that the guy who's eating treifas is coming to ask me a shayla, but what if it happened by mistake? The guy mamash sat down, he ate a tevel bread, and now Gavaldi starts clapping al chayt, and he says, what should I do now? First thing, let me at least bench. So we say, no, don't bench. We don't want you to bench. You know why? Because four magic words. What are the four magic words? Botzeya berech niyat Hashem. It's a niyot, it's a gidov to the bench. You make a bracha on an aveira. It's better not to bench altogether. You're not mechuyav to bench. According to the Rambam, that's the theme of that Mishnah in the seventh parak of Brachas. The Brachas are never recited on any achila that's associated with an aveira. Bein betchila bein b'saif, bein b'mezim bein b'shegeg. Brachas just don't apply to treifa food. So the Ravid, on the spot, on that Rambam, because Brachas says, he doesn't know what the Rambam's talking about. He says, he doesn't understand conceptually whether that should be so, and he doesn't understand textually whether that should be so. Says the Ravid, textually, that's not what the Mishnah is talking about. The Mishnah is not even talking about Berachas Hamazon. The Mishnah is talking about Zimun. The Mishnah is not telling you who's Chayef to bench. Who's Chayef to bench? That was back in the third parak. Chol Chayef Berachas Hamazon. The Mishnah is telling you in the seventh parak all the details of the dinim of Zimun. So the Ravid says what the Mishnah meant to say is, if a guy ate tray for food, he can't be mitzvah for a Zimun. Why can't he be mitzvah for a Zimun? Not because he's not benching. If the Mishnah wanted to say it doesn't bench, it should have said, ain't no mevarech. Ain't no mezamish for a different reason. If three guys sit down and eat an apple, there's no benching b'zimun either. Why? Because it's not called achilas keva. In order to be chayv and benching b'zimun, you have to be eating together as a group, as a unit. And achila derech kviyos. I'm running here, you're running here, he's running here. That's not called kviyos. That's not shlosh achol ki echad chayav mazam. So comes the rabbi and says, what the Mishnah is telling us is as follows: even though you ate bread, but you ate bread in a way that the halacha didn't approve of. So the halacha is not machshav what you did. So you ate bread. I can't deny you ate bread. So you have to bench about it. You have to bench. You mechuv to bench b'atayra. If you ate today svi, avad you mechuv to bench b'atayra. No shalos is the ravid. We can't tell you not to bench because you ate treif. It doesn't do anything. You did one aver, so do another aver. It doesn't make any sense. It says the ravid. All the Mishnah meant to say is that the halacha can't declare that an achilas a treifus is called an achilas keva, and therefore it's dinner like achilas peiros, and therefore you don't bench b'zimun. But do you bad you bench? Do you make a bracha b'shon? Do you make a bracha b'shon? So machlek is the Rambam and the Ravid. How did the Ravid learn pshat in Agamar? Agamar sounds like butzeh berach neitz Hashem. So the Rosh already gets the ball rolling in the case of Mishnah, elaborates a little bit on the Rosh, and point out, as the Mishnah points out, there are two radically different ways to read Agamar. To read the same Brayis in two different ways. So the Brayis starts off by saying, Rabbi Elazar Omer, Rishigadu saw Shachit v'tachem v'fav v'ish ben achala keitzen mevorech, ein zem mevorech el menai, tfazen em v'vartzei b'yach Hashem. Is the Brayis making a statement that you can't make a bracha? Is the Brayis making a statement of fact, you cannot make a bracha because your making a bracha will be at niyot of the Rabban Shalom? That's what the Rambam says. That's what the Rambam learns, that you cannot make a bracha. There's another way of reading the Brayis. What's the other way of reading the Brayis? The Brayis is bemoaning, woe, ketzad mevarech. How are we gonna let this go? Let this guy make a bracha. The guy put us into a pickle, we're in a checkmate. On the one hand, of course he has to make a bracha. Why does he have to make a bracha? Because he ate food. So just because he didn't have air, of course he has to make a bracha. On the other hand, we are bemoaning the fact that he's in such a terrible predicament that he's going to have to make a bracha, that the bracha is going to be almost like a neo, it's like a blasphemous to the Rebbeinu Shalom. What are you going to do? Ketzer would never, we're in a pickle, what are you supposed to do? Ainz mevarech elamanites. But nobody said not to make the bracha. We're just bemoaning the fact that Nebuchadnezzar has to make the bracha. So because the Mishnah tries to work into the text of the Gemara a little bit, he points out some had the girsa ketzer mevarech, some didn't have the girsa ketzer mevarech. At the end, the Kesavish says he doesn't really think it makes much of a difference whether he had the words or not had the words. He thinks there are two equally valid ways of reading this brisa, which were in fact the machlokes of the Rambam and the Ravid. The Rambam read Agamara saying that you don't make a bracha, statement of fact, and that's what the Mishnah in brachas means. You don't bench b'zimun because you don't make a bracha. And according to the Ravid, lo yidvar me'elam, you do make a bracha. It's just a p'tur from Zimbun, not Tzlacha v'chilas keva. And Abraisa is not making a statement of fact. It's just kind of moaning the fact you're in a pickle. So about everything, right. Now, bracha rishon is going to be an unlikely shayla, because usually the guy who's sitting and eating keva is probably not going to be asking us to shayla whether she make a bracha. So it's probably more likely that he ate it already and then he realized it. That's why I keep on giving the case of benching. But it's the same shayla. Okay, so a guy's mom is eating treifas, and he says, listen, I'm eating treif, but I want to make a bracha. Should I not? The Rambam says, don't do us any favors. And the Rambam says, stop eating treif, but if you're not going to, at least make a bracha.
I guess, you know, in the case where someone who's sick has eat treif food, that's the chuya.
Oh, you took the sugya and ready to the next level. You're ready tomorrow, Shia. Up until now, we're talking about not such nice people. We're talking about Motzeya, Berech. We're talking about bad people. You're talking about Tzadik Yisrael, a little sick. Maybe it's a totally different sugya. Okay, so we're not sure yet. You may be right, maybe wrong. We're equated to right. We're saying this is an aver of gezel. That's an aver of tevel, right? Which one do you think is the worst of
there? When you eat tevel, there's something wrong with the chutz. There's nothing wrong with the chutz when they steal.
Wow, you're too brisk for me. So the Rambam seem to put this together. The Rishonim seem to put the two sugyas together. So you want to learn that there's not even talking about birchas hananen altogether. That's your suggestion. So that's why I start off the sugya by saying that one could say that, but we're going to work. We're assuming for now the Ram, the Rav, the Rosh, probably most of the Rishonim are assuming it's talking about birchas hananen. Okay, although it doesn't really say it either way in the Brayis. So let's take a look and see just how far this sugya goes. Let's take the Rambam's approach. Let's take the Rambam's approach. That there really is a halacha, not just we're bemoaning that it's just not a nice thing to make a bracha, but it's impossible halachically to make a bracha. To make a bracha, it would be mamshit, it's like a bracha vatala. You're not allowed to make the bracha. It's an instant to make the bracha. Mitzvah berachni it's Hashem. Exactly how far that goes. So the Gemara in Bava Kamma, the beginning of the ninth parak, quotes this brisa in the context of a much broader question, way, way, way beyond just the technical issues of Hilchos Brachos. What relates this to a shas topic of Hilchos Gezeila, the sugya that permeates in the second half of Bava Kamma, the sugya that's called Shini Kaina or Shini Eina Kaina. Let's get a little bit of a background. Who was with us back in the Bava Kamma days? I don't even think Ru was there, right? That was pretty... The year before you came. How many years ago? 9 years ago? 10 years ago? I'm at Meruba. So there's a sugi that appears in the beginning of Meruba and then it repeats itself. In the ninth cycle of Bava Kamma, every couple of blot in the last 40 blot of Bava Kamma, the sugi keeps coming up. Called Shini Kaina, Shini Eina Kaina. What in the world is that? The starting point of halacha, as we relate to Gezeila, is you're not allowed to steal. Those things are good. Yeah, everyone agrees to it. The second half of the starting point is if you steal, you got to return it. How do I know that? It's also a chumash. The Heshu is Gezeila Shagavon. So if I steal, let's say I steal this bottle of water from you, so even though 6 months have passed, I have to return it back. The Heshu is Gezeila Shagavon. Obviously, if I drink the bottle of water, it's not here anymore, then it's hard for me to return the water to you. So then there's a din of tashlumin. Then there's a secondary halacha called that I have to pay for the bottle of water. There's a lumdus shashan the rishonim. The fact that I have to pay for the bottle of water that's not here anymore, is that also part of the mitzvah of heishvus exela shagozel? Or is that a different din? That's where the chiv tashlumin. The mitzvah of heishvus is only to return the object itself. The fact that halacha says that the object isn't here anymore, I have to pay you cash, so that may or may not an actual mitzvah of heishvus. That's what we show in the third parakah of Machlokes. Yeah, that's not our topic for now. But everyone agrees to the two basic halachas. If the object is still be'en, of course you have to return it. If the object's not here anymore, then I have to just pay instead. Where the Tanoim begin to disagree is, what if I stole an object? And the object is technically here, it's just it's changed. It doesn't look the same. Some radical change has happened to this object. So what would that halacha say now? Do I say that, well, the object is here, still a mice, it's been, so let me return the quote-unquote new object. Or do I say no? That once it's changed, it's a shinius kainit. Once it's changed, it's as if it's not here anymore. If it's not here anymore, so then the goslin, in effect, gets to keep the object, the new object. Obviously, the goslin does go off scot-free. What does he have to pay? He's got to pay the value. How would you evaluate what the value is? Let's say I steal water from you today, and the bottle of water goes for a dollar today, and then when they finally catch me 10 years from now, so the bottle of water went up in value. How do I pay? What does the Mishnah say in the ninth parable of Kama? Kol goslanim what? Mishama kishasa gezeila. It says v'heishvus v'hashe gozo. Everything follows the shasa gezeila. Fine. So I stole an item from you, and I do the shini on it, and now the question is, do I have to return the object itself? Or do I go down the route of tashlumin? And if I go down the route of tashlumin, then I get to keep the object, and I pay you kishasa gezeila. So that's what the opening mission of the ninth parak of Bava Kamma says. Hagoz leitzim v'sonim. I steal wood from you. I go into your backyard, I steal your lumber, and I build myself a piece of furniture. And now I built a table. So now you take me to a din Torah and you say, I want my wood back. So what does Beis Din tell me? Does Beis Din say, give back the wood, i.e. give back the table? Or does Beis Din say, no, you have to give back the table. Just the table, the wood doesn't exist anymore. So just make the cheshbon, how much wood you stole, how much was it worth last week when you stole it, and give him a check for the wood, and show him, so you get to keep the table. So that's the machlokes that they're doing, whether shini is kaina, or shini is b'mkayim I made. Shini kaina means that I get to keep it, I pay the cash, b'mkayim I means, it's the same item, and therefore you have to return the item itself. What does the machlokes revolve around? Where did this machlokes even come from? Should you say one way, should you say another way? So mother the machlokes. Where does the machlokes come from? I don't learn at the end of Bava Kamma. So the Gemara seems to relate it to two words in the Chumash. The Heshev is like Zela, Asher Gozel. So one Tana seems to say Asher Gozel, means Ke'ein Shagozel. You only have to return it if it resembles the same thing that it was. Once you change it, it's now a table, it's not wood anymore. Now it's a table, or it used to be wool, and now you stole wool and you turned it into a coat. So it's not Kein Shagozel anymore, so then it's like it doesn't exist. And the other Tana says, Shagozel, Mikol Mokoyim. No matter what, still around, even though it's not exactly the same, that's also considered to be Shini B'mkayim. That's the way the Gemara seems to present the Machlokes. So if I would ask you to analyze, evaluate this Machlokes for me, it sounds like this is a Din Prati and Hilchos what? Hilchos Gezeila. It's a drasha. How to learn pshat in this mitzvah? Hashem gozel is a certain mitzvah. Is the Torah putting a certain limitation on this mitzvah, or not a certain limitation? So it sounds like it's almost like a gezela dekashayla. When you learn this sugya a little bit more of a kami, you come to a quick realization that this has nothing to do with this gezela. This machlokes with the shini is kaina. It's not a gezela shayla. Anyone know how I know that? The Gemara makes an unbelievable jump to an area of halacha that has absolutely nothing to do with gezela. Gemara quotes machlokes at Tanoim at the following shayla. There's an issue in the Torah called Estan Zoyna. The person gives a zona for her to be mezana with her. He gives her an animal. That animal becomes pasul l'gabi b'zbeach. Lo savi estan zayin v'chakel abes shem l'kecha. So this is the raisa. Once it's given to a b'toras estan, it's also the envoy. We spent a lot of time in estan also tofil v'alima last year. Like the estan zayin in the Torah. So Gemara quotes machlekes at Tanoim. What's the din if I give grapes to the zayina, the estanana, and she takes that grapes, those grapes, and turns them into wine? Or I give flour to her, and she turns it into a mincha. I give olives to her, and she turns it into oil. And she wants to bring that oil in the mizbeach. She wants to bring that wine, she wants to bring that mincha in the mizbeach. What's the din? So the Gemara says, the machlekes at Tanoim, what's the issue? The Gemara says, oh, it's the same shayla. If you hold that shini is kaina, so then what's the din? Then it's not an estan anymore. If you hold that shini is ain't a kaina, that it's chini bim kaim oimid, it's still an estan, it would be awesome in a Torah to bring the wine on Gabi Mizbech. We're talking about Asher Gozel, Gzer Sekosim, and then Prati Ruchus Gzela. The Gemara makes a tushdel, Tuchus Estan Zaina. What's the connection between the two? So Rav Chaim said that the Nakuda of both Sugis is really one and the same. What's the Nakuda of the Sugis? When I steal something, those who were with us last year remember this, I steal something from you, I get a certain relationship to that chefza. I become achroy in that chefza, I become responsible for that chefza. Anything happens, I have to pay for it. What do we call it? The two magic words we called that last year? Kinyan gazela. It's such a kinyan that what has to happen, we spoke about this earlier in the year a little bit also, what has to happen in order to attain a kinyan gazela? What do I have to do? We spoke with the first sugya with the Moshe, with the Ktsois, back like in August. Okay, I have to make a kinyan on it because it's really a kinyan. It's mamish didi mamnis. There's a change in status. When I steal something, I become the achray on it. Being achray on something is almost the equivalent to being a wad on something. If it's my responsibility, I have to take care of it. I'm almost a wad on it. I'm the bialim on it. What the Torah is almost saying is that when you steal something, you really become the owner of that object. Now, what does it mean to really, truly become the owner of that object? Usually, become the owner of the object means you can get to what? You can keep the object. So the Torah says, no. You just fall short of being able to keep it. You have all other halachas of ownership. You have to pay for it if something happens to it. You're the one responsible. Everything, it doesn't matter whether the onus happens, there's no excuses. Once you steal it, you are the owner, just about l'chol dini haTorah, that you have to be completely responsible for it. There's only one thing that's preventing you from becoming the mamish owner and keeping it and putting it in your pocket. What is that? What are the two magic words? Three magic words. V'heishvus ha'gzeila. If not for that chiddush haTorah v'heishvus ha'gzeila, I would have said that when I steal it, it's mamish mine. I have to pay you for it. There's no question. Obviously, I can't not pay you for it. But the starting point would have almost been the Torah is almost setting up the model that you get to keep it. The Torah is saying you're responsible for it. It's all yours. And at the last second, the Torah says, by the way, you better give it back. What do you mean you better give it back? Because you're mechuyev in the mitzvah satayr of what? So it's the mitzvah of heishvus ha'gzeila that's almost preventing the kinyan from going through. Who knows the mashal of Davidam? Who learned, if I say the parak, then I'll give it away. Who learned something? Whoever learned? No. It's Bava Tzia. Second parak of Bava Tzia. There's a mitzvah shavas aveda. It's a gemalbin chidish shavas aveda, you know? Baseline, right? Baseline. What's the baseline? Before the Torah gave us the mitzvah Shavuos Aveda, what would you have thought the din should be? Imagine this pasuk didn't exist. There was no pasuk Shavuos Aveda. What would you say? I would say the din is four words. Finders, keepers, losers, weepers. That's it. That's what we taught when we were little kids. Finders, keepers, losers, weepers. I found it. You want it. I found it. What do you want from me? I'll do something to pick it up. So comes the Torah HaKadosh and says, no, it's not true. It's a gevaldike chiddush haTorah, called the Shavuos Aveda. So what is preventing me from becoming the owner of the Aveda? It's a mitzvah, Hashavas Aveda. So that's what Reb Chaim says, Mamash, the same Moshel. It's the mitzvah, Hashavas HaGezeil, that's preventing me from becoming the full-fledged owner, and to, otherwise I could have just gotten away with paying cash for it and calling it a day. It's the mitzvah, Hashavas Aveda. It's the mitzvah, Hashavas HaGezeil. So Reb Chaim, the mitzvah, Hashavas HaGezeil, is on what? What does the Torah say? Veheishas HaGezeil, what? Asher Gozel. The mitzvah, Hashavas HaGezeil, is on the object that I stole. You know what the issue of Shina Kaina is? Shina Kaina is not a Gezeila Shaila. Shina Kaina is a fundamental Torah conceptual question. I want to draw a picture of two things. I'm a lousy artist, so it's not going to look too good, but here, these are logs of wood, okay? And this is a table, all right? I want to know, is this the same thing or not? Is this table the same as this wood or not? I could see it one of two ways. Either I could say, well, I look at it, I see, it's really wood, you know, it just kind of, it really did come from the logs. It was just shaved down a little bit, you know, put together in a certain shape, but it's really logs. What I have here, I have my, what's saying this thing? Non-shotten, is it what it's saying on the other side? Wool and cashmere, okay, wool. Okay? So I have two things in front of me. I have a sheep with a lot of wool, and I have a blue wool and cashmere jacket. Same thing or not? So if you look hard enough, you'll see this is wool, and this is wool. Well, they say, come on, Rabbi, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. That's wool on a sheep, and this is a blue cashmere jacket. It's so mishtan, it's so changed, it's not the same thing anymore. So that's the question, Shina Kaina. When the Teres Keveya did him, that a chal and a cheftza, is it considered to be the same cheftza, even after undergoing changes? Or do I say, no, the changes are just tangential, it's still fundamental, it retains its same fundamental status. That's a conceptual question, that's a lomdus shaila that could affect the permeate kol Torah kula. Zav Reb Chaim, that's the shaila of Gezeila. Everybody agrees there's a mitzvah Hashavas HaGezeila. Everybody agrees that the mitzvah Hashavas HaGezeila that's preventing the Gaza from being kind of lagamre. The machlekes HaTanoim is he still mechuyev in the mitzvah Hashavas HaGezeila? So one Tana Hot Gezach, Meheshon Zav Zerah Shev Gazal, only if it's Ke'en Shev Gazal. The mitzvah Hashavas HaGezeila was on the wood. The table's not wood. If the table is not wood, then there's no mitzvah Hashavas HaGezeila on it. If there's no mitzvah Hashavas HaGezeila on it, then what? Then what? What happens? What's the corollary? If there's no mitzvah Hashavas HaGezeila, what's the corollary? It's yours. You get to keep it. You pay cash for it, but it's yours. But if you hold that fundamentally, it hasn't changed. A table and wood is all the same thing. This is wood and this is wood. So then the mitzvah Hashavas HaGezeila is still intact. Because the chetz is still intact. If the mitzvah Hashavas HaGezeila is still there, so then that's going to prevent you from being kind of it with a shinui. So it's not pshat that Shini is a koine. Shini is not dinim mamas. Shini is not a dinim cheshi mishpat. The question, quote-unquote, Shini koine is not a cheshi mishpat shayla. It's a conceptual Torah question about the relationship between two cheftas. Is it retained the same status as the original cheftas? So Reb Chaim, now we understand perfectly well what Chazal was talking about. What's the story of the Esther and Zayna? What does the Torah say? Anything that was given, if this cheftza was given to the Zayna be'esnana, it's possible to have a mizbech li'olam. I gave the Zayna, I gave her a bunch of grapes. What does she have now? She's bringing us a bottle of wine. So when the Kahanim of the Beis HaMikdash are asking her, did you get this through your Esdan? So, did she or did she not? Not clear. On the one hand, grapes and wine, wine and grapes, wine, it's all the same thing. On the other hand, it looks radically different. It tastes different, smells different, looks different. It's a different Esdan, it's a different cheftza. So if you hold that Shini is kind and uchas gezeila, that's another way of saying Shini kind and gezeila is not a cheshem mishpadin. Shini kind and gezeila means this is nishkin the same cheftza. If it's nishkin the same cheftza, then it's not the same cheftza in Esdan Zayna also. But if you hold that Shini is not kainah, Shini is not kainah, so what you're saying is it's the same chefza, and you're mechuyev in the same mitzvah shegazel, and that's preventing the kinyan. So, oh, if it's the same chefza, then we're in trouble in terms of chazas and zayna. So, Zav Reb Chaim, this is not a cheshemish, it's not dini moment, it's not a gzeil shayla, it's a kol Torah kula shayla, which revolves around Reb Chaim's favorite word. Is it the same chefza or not the same chefza anymore? So, this was the background, this was the introduction to asking it. What does that have to do with anything? So, you have to now look at this Bryce and ask him, wait a second, hold the phone over here. What did this guy steal? What did he steal? It's a chitim. What's he making a brach on?
Bread.
On bread. Bread, chitim. Is that the same thing? Isn't Shinikar, doesn't that play a role in this again? So that's where the beginning of the ninth paragraph of Bava Kamma begins with. So we just needed the first 15 minutes, less than 15 minutes, to share the introduction to appreciate where Chazal are going to now address this Braisa of Rabbi Elazar from the vantage point of what is this Braisa taking a stand on Shinah Kohen? Now, how do we understand this in light of the general question of Shinah Kohen? Yeah, I'm sorry.
So in your case, the sheikah is converted into a jacket. What would you actually do in that case? Like, if you hold that,
if you hold what?
If Shino's been made. If Shino's not come now, like, how would
then I would have to return him. You would have to give me the difference. Let's say the wool, you know, plain wool was only worth $20. I had a jacket worth $200, so he's going to have to reimburse me $180 left.
So at the end of the day, he's like still forced to pay money that he wouldn't have wanted to pay.
Okay, so then you have to figure out about whether he could force me to pay cash. Yeah, sure, that's really a detailed question, but he's not going to walk away with more than was stolen from him. Okay, that becomes a, you know, becomes complicated. Okay, good. All right, good. So hopefully that's from tomorrow. We'll try to continue from this. Without missing out, right? Come on,